This is Stan Pinkston, introducing Pastor Stan as he speaks on the subject, Methuselah and Paul. Pastor Stan.
Thank you, and we're happy to be on the air again, dear friends, with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God. As you know, we're trying to bring our radio audience the gist of some of our published writings, and we've chosen for this broadcast the title Methuselah and Paul, or the Wrath and Long Suffering of God. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 5:27 that all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Methuselah actually lived to become 969 years old? A prominent liberal minister in 1930 gave his answer to this question in a weekly religious column run in one of the big New York newspapers. Said the learned doctor, and I'm quoting, "Of course we know that no human being could actually live to become 969 years old. That would be impossible," unquote. And he went on to explain that it's more rational to assume that the years of Genesis 5 refer to lunar cycles rather than solar cycles. In other words, it was his opinion that Methuselah probably lived to be 969 moons or months rather than 969 suns or years. He recalled the fact that various heathen tribes and even our American Indians reckoned by moons rather than by suns. And he pointed out that according to this reckoning, Methuselah reached the respectable age of about 80 years. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it simple and reasonable? Not to a Berean. Not to those who look up a few facts from that passage itself. The doctor made a great mistake which no true Berean could miss. If the years of Genesis 5 are really months instead of years, then in the same chapter, we have fathers of 5 years old and grandfathers of 11. And that's not all. For if this is the reckoning which is used in the book of Genesis, we have nearly everybody dying at childhood after the flood, and women bearing children 1, 2, and 3 months apart. How about that? Strange, is it not, how those who find it so difficult to believe the simple statements of Scripture always seem to end up with something far more difficult to believe. Thousands of the worldly wise find it a strain on their credulity to be asked to believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So they ask us to believe that somehow this vast universe just happened into existence, that the great heavenly bodies have continued to travel in their orbits for all these thousands of years after having flown like chips from some great central mass of matter which came from who knows where or who knows what. Man created by God in his image? They wouldn't be so childish to believe that. So they ask us to believe it, and believe that it all began with a poor, lonely bit of protoplasm drifting out to boundless sea, which finally decided, I say that in quotes, that it ought to knuckle down and get somewhere in life. That's how man is supposed to have started. And the fall? Why, nonsense. Man has been climbing upward ever since he emerged from the slime pit and ascended through the ape family. He can make living more intricate and involved now, that's certain. He's capable of committing greater crimes. He can wage greater wars. He can wipe out whole cities at a time. Isn't that wonderful? Little wonder that we read in 1 Corinthians 3:19, that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The learned doctor who scorned the idea that Methuselah could possibly have lived to be 969 years old only got himself into an embarrassing position with his more rational view. More than that, he missed the precious lesson which Methuselah's age was meant to teach, the reason God allowed him to become the oldest man of all history. Let me explain. We read in 1 Peter 3:20 that the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Now, these were the days when Methuselah was alive. In seeking for the meaning of this statement, we should remember, first of all, that when our Lord would point out that period of history, which was most notoriously wicked, he designated the days of Noah, Matthew 24:37. These were dark days indeed. Revelry, immorality, and violence were the order of the day. Romans 1:18 says they didn't wish to retain God in their knowledge, and God was gradually giving them up to wrath and judgment. The world was doomed. And yet, there was a ray of hope. God did not deal hastily with the antediluvian world. He did not immediately pour out his wrath upon them, wicked as they were. Psalm 103:8 rightly says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, and slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." And thus it is that Peter tells us that the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. 1 Peter 3:20. Now, we must not forget that Methuselah's father was a prophet, Enoch. Among other things, he prophesied the terrible judgment that was coming upon the ungodly world of that day. Now, when Enoch was 65 years old, he begat a son, and he called his name Methuselah. That he named his son prophetically seems evident, for the name Methuselah means, "When he is dead, it shall be sent." Now, what it was that was going to be sent is obvious, for his whole prophecy, his whole message, his whole life was one great warning about the coming flood. And the flood did come the year that Methuselah died. This is easy to determine. Let's see. To simplify matters, just take a few figures. If you have pencil and paper, so much better. Add them up. Genesis 5:25. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Put that down, 187 years. Then verse 28, Lamech lived 182 years and begat Noah. So add those two and you have 369 years. Now at Noah's birth then, Methuselah was 369 years old. Now, Genesis 7:11 says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, when the great fountains of the deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened, and the flood came." So the 600th year of Noah's life had them. 369 plus 600, 969. Methuselah then was 969 years old when the flood came. So Genesis 5:25 is right and consistent when it says, "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." Don't you see, this throws a great flood of light on Peter's words that the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Methuselah, of the days of Noah. Now then, Methuselah have any relationship to Paul? Of course he does. As Methuselah shows the length of God's grace and generosity and love, so Paul shows the breadth of it. Paul was the chief of sinners, saved by grace. And salvation is sent now to all mankind as it was first given to the chief of sinners, saved by grace. Paul was, as I've said, both the herald and the living example of God's grace. And in fact, he says also in 1 Timothy 1:16 that in me first, he might show forth all long suffering.